All right, so for 15 in quarantine here, March 30th, wanted to look at a Bible verse that is very common to so many of us. We love to use it as well all the time. And I'm not sure why I'm turning there, but I am. Just know it by heart. But Romans 8:28, the Word of God says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And this is an important verse for so many believers. But to point two things out for that, how many of you have heard this said many times? Not quoting the Bible verse, but I've heard this said through many people, believers and non-believers, that, oh, it'll work out. Things will be okay. It always works out. Things always work out for the good, right? I hear it said many different ways, slight variations, but it's said amongst all believers and unbelievers. But I want to point two things out. One, Paul's talking to believers here. So whenever we get to this, one, he's saying that you need to love God, you need to be the called. And at the very beginning of Romans, he's addressing believers. The believers are the called. So two things need to happen. One, you need to be a believer. Two, you need to love God. If those things are true, we have a great promise here that all things will work together for good. And that's a wonderful promise. So I want to look at that today. But friend, if you are listening and you say, well, I'm not sure if I'm a believer or I don't know. Well, I want to let you know that it's not hard to be a believer. Everything that would have been hard for us to stand before God as a believer has all been taken care of. The Word of God makes it clear that we've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And because we fell short, because we can't keep God's law, his demands to be perfect and holy before him, we've all fallen short. That's sin. We've all sinned. And because of that, the wages of sin is death. There's nothing we can do. But thank goodness the Lord Jesus Christ did do it all. He came. He shed his innocent blood for us. And the Word of God says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God." What is that gift of God? Well, it's you placing your faith in Christ's faithfulness that he is the only mediator between God and man. He is the only way for forgiveness of sins. And through his death, his burial, his resurrection, that simple faith, you can be saved. I want to read a verse here. In Acts 13:38, Paul does say that through this man, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's powerful. And by him, all that believe, anyone and everybody that believe, are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. So, what does that mean? That was at the beginning of Paul's, right there when he first started sharing the grace message with people. He preached that through this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the forgiveness of sin. And when you do believe, you're justified from all things. Later on in his ministry, you see also that he shares, and I'm getting there. I went to the wrong book here. Went to 2 Corinthians instead of 1 Corinthians. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right at the very beginning, verse 2. I'll start in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you," that very same gospel that he first preached back in Acts 13 there. "Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye also are ye saved." From the very beginning, what did he say? Through the Lord Jesus Christ is the forgiveness of sin, and if you believe in him, you're justified from all things. So he recaps it again here. "By which also you were saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." What is this gospel message? "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to Scriptures." And if you truly believe that, and believe that alone for your forgiveness of sins, that Christ did it all, you're saved. So when we look here at this verse now in Romans 8:28, you would be a believer. And then you just need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are guaranteed this promise that all things work together for good. It doesn't say that all things are good, because we experience bad things and good things in our life, but we have the promise that all things will work together for good. So in context, Paul's speaking to believers who are the called and all who love him. So all things, again, include bad and good. I wanted to use a couple examples here to get us started here on this thought. The moment you're saved sometimes, I mean, even now we look around, we look at the world, we see a lot of the negativity, we see the sin that goes on in the world. We even know within ourselves a struggle that we have still on not sinning and maybe certain habits we need to break. But think about a raging river. I know we had a lot of rain recently, and we definitely know what flooding rivers look like in a river that's moving fairly fast. You know, when we're saved, when we go up against trials, tribulations, struggles, all these different things of life, the Word of God does say that when we do live godly, when you love the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him, you will suffer persecution. And not just talking about persecution, but every struggle in your life. Sometimes it's like walking in the river. You step out into a river, and the course of this world is like that flowing river. The course of sin is this flowing river. But now you need to start walking against it, because that's not who you are anymore. And that can be a hard thing when trials and struggles and all these things that are coming at you, persecutions, this just big river of the world, and you got to walk upstream. That can be hard, very hard at times. Sometimes the water levels are down, it makes it a little easier. Sometimes it's at flood stage, but in any case, there's that constant flow of the world. I have a good friend that's into biking. He always told me a few times, and I remember a couple posts that he had about bicycling, pedal biking. And the quote somewhere along the lines that it never gets easier, you just go faster. Well, in a way, a Christian life, that flow of the world is constantly there. It's not that it gets any easier or better or whatnot. It's always going to be there. But every step that you take in faith, that you go forward, you step with the Lord against that current of the world, a current of your flesh, it does get easier in a sense that now you build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can experience things like this awesome verse that we're looking at today, that all things work together for good, so that no matter how hard that river comes at us, we can take a step in faith, rooted and grounded in God's word. So every step we take, boom, you sink in, you grab a hold. We all know what it's like. Well, maybe not all of us, but when you walk a river, you got to be very careful with each foot that you place. Rocks are very slippery, depending on where you're from in the country. So it can be hard. You can't just go out there and just start running against the current. But when you're, the more you do that with the Word of God, trusting, walking by faith, every step you take against this world, your feet grab a hold every time, better and better. And to build off of this, I want to look at the Apostle Paul, because he's the one that penned this awesome promise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that Paul went through prisons. He went through even deaths. There's times where, I believe with the stoning there, he died and God brought him back to life. 5 times whipped, 3 times beaten with rods. We're just going to read this list here. Stone, 3 times shipwrecked, night and day in the deep, many journeys, there's perils and dangers of robbers amongst his own people, amongst the Gentiles and Jews alike, cities, wherever he went, the wilderness, the sea, false brethren. He had weariness, he had pain, no sleep and rest, many times hunger, thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness. The list goes on. But yet, he went through all this for the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, he penned many encouraging words like this one, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And it's amazing that when he went through all those things, listen to what he says here in Philippians. I went a little too far here. Philippians chapter 3. start here in verse 10. No, not verse 10, sorry. It would help if I go to the third chapter, not the second chapter. All right, so Philippians chapter 3 says, I'll start here in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's basically saying that if we're going to trust in the flesh, if we have a place to glory, Paul's the one that should be able to glory in the flesh. Why? He was circumcised the 8th day. He was a stock of the Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. So it's amazing that Paul, before he gave his life over the Lord Jesus Christ, he had everything. In terms of society and his standard, he had everything. Basically, he was going riding the river in a little, maybe a tube or a canoe, just riding it, coasting along. He had it all. But then that moment he gave his life to Christ, he started walking against the flow of this world. All those things we just read about being in prison and deaths, beatings, all these different things that he started going through. So Paul makes this comment, despite all those things, one, he knew all things will work together for good. He experienced that. It's part of his experience in his life too. But here in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, having not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So everything, and there's times where we go against the world, and we're looking around. Bad times, hard times come, and we think of some of these awesome verses that we tend to know by heart, like all things work together for good. And sometimes it's hard to do that. But remember, the very person that penned that is the very person that was beaten and thrown in prison, suffered tremendously for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he counted it all. His whole life that he had before, that where he had everything according to the world, he counted it all lost. He didn't care about it. He looked at it as dumb, as poo in a way. Why? So he could win Christ, so he could experience Christ all the more. One, on the eternal life, that free gift of salvation. But then as he continues on here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And he does. He continues on more. Paul wanted to know Christ more. 1 Corinthians 12:9, when he prayed to the Lord 3 times for this thorn in the flesh to disappear, he said, and God replied back, the Lord Jesus Christ said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul responds back to the Lord's answer and says, you know what? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So this whole ordeal with all things work together for good to them that love God, the key is that love. When you walk by faith, not by sight, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, things do always work together for good. We might not get to see it sometimes. Sometimes we do. But the fact is, the very man that penned some of these words about God's faithfulness, about trusting in the Lord, and then when you're weak, when you go through hard times and struggles, when you go through temptations and struggles, that's when the very power of the Lord Jesus Christ can truly rest in your life, work in your life, and you get to experience him, because sometimes that's what we need sometimes. That whenever we know we're utterly helpless, but we have the one who is truly the God of all comfort, truly the God that will help you out and get you through this hard time. That's when you truly can step in faith. And then as you grow in your relationship and things continually come, you can easily, more easily say, I want to take another step forward. I don't care what's coming at me. I don't care what the world's throwing at me, what my flesh wants to believe. I'm going to step out in faith and keep walking on. One last verse to finish up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm not going to go through all this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm in 1 Corinthians. I don't think I'll ever break my habit of going to the wrong chapters and whatnot. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Eventually down through here, Paul comes and says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also in Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies." Doesn't that sound familiar? When Paul said that he wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrections and his sufferings, all these things. Paul mentioned that all the time, that in these things, Christ suffered for us as well. So what better place to be in when we know, when we live godly for one, we will suffer persecution. When we know we go and stand up against the world, hard times come and struggles come. When we know our flesh, who did the Lord Jesus Christ rely on? His Father. Who should we rely on? The Lord Jesus Christ, what he did. What a personal relationship we can have with him. The one who experienced all those infirmities, all those temptations, all those things, but yet without sin. He's the provider that can give you the comfort that you need, the help that you need to get through all these hard times. So when Paul gets back down later on, he realizes at the end of chapter 4, "For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory." Through it all, through these hard times, when we want to claim that verse, "For all things work together for good," we remember the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Step out in faith all the time. Look to his word. Keep bringing him into the situation that you're going through. And I don't know what it might be, but especially now with what's going on in the world, all these things are heightened. All different troubles, different issues that we typically have in our day-to-day life are now multiplied even more because of what's going on. But trust in the Lord. Walk out in faith. Realizing these afflictions that we have, one, they're temporary. And two, this is an awesome thing. Even though they're but for a moment, but these things that we go through worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's glory out there, first of all, that will be shed on us throughout eternity. But we can have more of it. We can rake up treasures in heaven, rewards in heaven. We will stand before the Lord in the righteous judgment seat. And the things that we do, we can rake up more reward. But even overcoming these trials, these temptations, these afflictions, these troubles, and all these things in life that are temporary. Even if we never see the good here on earth, we can rest assured that standing with the Lord, it rakes up far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. So that's why Paul goes on to say, "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal." So challenge today when we think about that verse, "For we know that all things what work together for good." We've got to remember, keep looking to the Lord. Love him. Bring him into every situation in your life. Look to his word so you can become more and more grounded in it. So it's easier to trust him when hard times come. Because they'll keep coming. But they can get easier to deal with. Why? Because the relationship that you build with your Savior, your Lord, far outweighs any trouble that may come your way later on in life. Even though the trials may get bigger, heartaches may get bigger, it don't matter. When you grow in your relationship with the Lord, like that hymn always says, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When you're focused on him and allowing his light, his power to rest on you and to work in you, things of this world do grow strangely dim. Even though you still get attacked, even though that flow of the world is always against you and you got to walk against it, things do truly grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So I challenge you today, keep loving the Lord, trust him with everything that you got, and he'll provide, he'll take care of you. We are his, and it's a wonderful blessing to know, a promise to know that things will work together for good. We are, if you're his, if you're a believer, and if you keep loving him along the way. So that's what I have for you today. And it's a little more than the 15, but according to the message part, I have that we just now hit 20. But were finished a few seconds sooner, so it's still in the team that go along with quarantine. But I hope to be with you guys again Wednesday, and it'll always be, it looks like the trend is right before noon, before you eat. You can tune in, let any comments or suggestions, maybe something you might want me to look at in the coming days, because I'm hoping all this ends sooner so we don't have to keep doing this and we can transform it into something else. But we might still have, who knows, maybe another week, maybe another 2 weeks, I don't know. But let your comments and suggestions, and maybe I'll look at a verse that maybe you want me to look at. So until then, I'll close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you again. Thank you for your word that's so sure, that truly is a rock, that truly is truth and an absolute that we can cling on to and hold and know that we're holding on to truth and you will not let us down. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him and him only do we have absolute forgiveness of sins if we simply believe that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And Lord, what a wonderful gift that is of eternal life. So thank you again. Help us to stand for you, and as we stand for you, realizing that when we do, we truly become this beacon of light to the whole world around us. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So see you again. I will see you next time. That'll be Wednesday. Take care.